You're listening to the Training Dummies. With Hand.
I'll look up the Henlock spell. And let's say it's a dot that lasts for 10 seconds.
The 34 accurate.
And Hotbox.
You can actually feel the tip.
Just the tip?
Yeah.
Good evening. I guess it might not be good evening for some people. I've already ruined it. Episode 85.
Do we have to start over?
No. Welcome to episode 85 of Training Dummies. Recorded for you on March 3rd, 2015. My name's Rob, and we're gonna let us ruin all sorts of more things tonight. Actually, we're gonna get ruined. We're gonna get wrecked. Because with me tonight is my bro host all the way from the Lich King's backyard. Because we don't recycle jokes on this show either. And
never.
Our good pal Pally, who you remember from our Gatorade episode we did not too long ago. Well, we've brought him back to discuss some Warcraft logs. So we're ready to get it on and get things figured out. So how about a warm round of applause, I guess? Warm welcome.
All right.
Sure. Yeah. There it is.
There we go.
Woo! Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate it.
Well, welcome back.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely. Thanks.
This is my most favorite subject ever.
Tearing us a new one?
Well, okay. Maybe not that. Not that mean. But log analysis and Warcraft logs and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's my thing. It's my thing.
Awesome.
Right on. Well, we'll skip a couple of the questions. So I'll just hit you with this one. Garrisons, mandatory or optional?
I'm thinking that garrisons are mandatory to a certain extent. You have to do the missions to get yourself the caches from Blackrock Foundry and all that kind of stuff, but you really don't have to do everything in your garrison every day, so that's my two cents.
They're only mandatory if you play World of Warcraft.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy enough. So, with the lack of compelling interview questions due to me deleting them from the show notes. Did you play Warcraft this week? And if so, what did you do?
Well, I myself grinded a ton of gear in pugs and crafting to get my paladin geared for tanking because I finally switched from my hunter to my paladin, which I actually had originally been playing my paladin, so it's a switch back, I suppose. So that's kind of exciting to get geared up and go back into the tanking business. So I did manage to get myself within about 5 item levels of our previous tank and stepped right into tanking.
Dang.
Progression.
Nice.
Heroic Black Hand.
Jeez,
in which we died many, 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 many times. Well, I had the two. I leveled both of them, my hunter and my paladin, to 100 pretty soon after the expansion dropped, but I certainly was focused on the hunter because that's what I'd been running in. But then the paladin wasn't too far behind. But Yeah, I got a lot of help from guildies with savage bloods and upgrades, and then patch 6.1 dropped, and I got a few more upgrades, and just a lot of time and resources went into that guy.
Nice.
Very quickly.
Rob, what did you do? Besides the same thing I did.
I leveled up my Death Knight, and I dinged 100.
Oh, I didn't do that.
And then I realized I would rather tank a LFR than pug a heroic dungeon, so I crafted as much gear as I could, and I am one item level short of being able to get
no.
LFR right now.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I don't even know. I mean, I can't do anything. That's where I'm at. That's it. I have to I have to do some sort of heroic or something to get that last little bit. So yeah, that's kind of it. Just got down with the DK leveling. We did some raiding, and I don't know. Had I guess if we're talking about raiding, right, we actually did really well, in my opinion, like better than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, pretty much it. Hit 100 on the Death Knight, then decided maybe I would rather play a Paladin, and then mess around on my Paladin, and that's, yeah. How about you, Hint?
Yeah, all that, except the Death Knight part. Did some raiding, did well, started leveling my Paladin. So yeah, about the same thing. We did get Heroic Butcher, which was nice, and then we went straight into BRF and got the first three of each wing. So we're 3 of 10 there. So that was, I think it went very well for us, especially considering we started an hour late because all the servers went offline about 10 minutes before our raid was scheduled to start. So
that was annoying.
So for having only 2 hours to raid that night, I think we did exceptionally well. But we'll find out here soon just how well we did.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. At least for the logs right away, it looks like there were one shots. Is that correct?
Yeah, except for Butcher, I think everything else was.
Oh, wait, no, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then even the Black Rock Foundry stuff, yeah.
Yep, totally.
Yeah. So
we didn't have a ringer with us or anything.
No. Not at all. All right. Well, let's get into that here first with this message from our possible ringer.
This is Aleva, and you're listening to the Training Dummies with Hendon Rob.
All right. So Warcraft logs apparently is more than just pretty bar graphs. So that's kind of why we've asked you on here today, you know, to help us use Warcraft logs to analyze our own raids rather than just you dissecting them and doing it for us. So I'm going to let you take over and kind of guide us through and teach us how to use Warcraft logs while also letting us know how we can improve and using Warcraft logs for that tool.
Sure. Get ready. Here we go.
I'm ready.
I'm kind of like,
No. So, I mean, again, this is one of my favorite subjects of looking at things and analyzing things after the fact and taking a look at ways to improve and what went well. So there's lots of positive to take out of this, too. But I guess I'd probably start with just sort of basic analysis of DPS and tank and healing. So I've got your logs here pulled up. I have the Beast Lord Darmak kill. And usually Warcraft logs dumps you right to the summary.
Okay.
And that just gives you the general overview of things you might want to look at a glance, so you can see damage done and all that kind of stuff. There are 5 tabs across the top that we'll sort of go into later. Those are Analyze, Compare, Problems, Rankings, and Replay. So right now we're just looking at Analyze, and that's just the basic functionality of any log tool.
Mm-hmm.
So probably easiest thing to start with is DPS. DPS is all numbers, you know, how well do people do, period. So I'm gonna spare you, Hen, because I don't know Warlocks as well. and actually maybe a good exercise after I do this DPS here is to have you look at your stuff. So, but I am gonna click on damage done, and then click down at your survival hunter Fungi. Yes.
You can pick on any one of these people, because I think honestly, like, we're looking, everyone's looking to improve. So
Yeah, no. And this is going to be like, I know Hunter, so I can give you all the info. Like I said, yeah, I don't know Warlocks. I don't know everything else. And so, like, just clicking into Fungi. So that pulls up just a nice little pretty graph that has all sorts of fanciful colors that look nice, of course.
Ooh, neat.
Yeah, and lots of abilities.
Holy
lots
crap. Of yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a lots rainbow just threw up on this thing.
Yes. It's very lovely. But so this is the point when you're looking at a DPS, you sort of need to know that little bit about the class and just decide, do I have enough knowledge of this class to analyze it? So for a hunter, I do, and I can at least give you some, you know, quick minor things to look at for a hunter. So right away, hunters have had Serpent Sting forever. Well, they got it taken away for most of their specs, but survival does. And so just looking at something like an uptime on a dot, like Serpent Sting, and we'll get to you, Hend, I'm sure, for uptime on dots. But right away, you know, Serpent Sting's that first and most damaging ability, and the uptime on that is on the far right corner there, and it's 90.4%. Well, generally, a hunter should be able to keep that pretty close to 100%. So there's a slight bit to improve there as well. Now, the fun part is you can also click down on the plus signs that are to the right of all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it'll take a minute, but it'll load another graph above that that shows you the damage done by Serpent Sting over the course of the fight. So you can see just, you know, it's going up and down, up and down. And you can see the exact points when it was doing zero damage, which would have been when they let it fall off. So you can go, well, at 7 minutes of the fight, it looks like it fell off for a bit of time, and it got put back on, and it fell off, and then it was good the rest of the time. So basically, two instances where something happened. They weren't able to put it up. So, again, that's fairly minor in terms of a hunter and evaluating them, but a very easy, quick, like, Serpent Sting, was it up 100% of the time? Yes or no? Yeah, done. Looking at more advanced stuff, one of their bigger abilities for hunters is Black Arrow, and that's the second from the bottom here. And you can look at that ability, and it's another dot for survival. But again, it's one of those that you can't have it up 100% of the time,
mm-hmm.
but it's critical to your DPS, so you want to have it up as much as possible. So again, this is one of those areas where if you don't know the class, you might have to ask someone, like, what's a good uptime on that, you know?
You want to talk to the raid doctor and find out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well,
so
done.
The answer to my self-asked question is 75%. So Black Arrow should be up 75% of the time at best. That's the most you could ever do. So in this case, looking at this person, they had it up 13%. So that's like a big area that they can look at.
Fungi.
Yeah. It's a real big area to look at and go, okay, maybe do I need a weak aura that tells me this has fallen off and I need to put it on, or just something that flashes that tells me, hey, this is up, do this, you know, do that. So that's sort of basic kind of DPS stuff. So now I think we should turn to Hend here, take a look at what he did. So again, I don't know too much about Warlocks, so I'm going to actually ask you to say, okay, what's important? I clicked on, there's a nice, if you want to switch to you, there's a drop down where it had, you know, Henji, or, yeah, then you can switch to Zen, your thing, your character, and then see all of the nice, pretty graphs and abilities and whatnot. and start to see some of the things there. So what do you see initially here?
Okay, so looking at the dot, Immolate is my dot, and it says my uptime was only 72%.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at, so then I click the plus sign, and then where does it, where is it not on? Just in the dips there, is that what that is? Oh, there's one spot, I think at 248, is that what I'm looking at?
Mm-hmm. There's one place where it wasn't up.
But where else was it not by looking at that? It looks like that's the only spot.
See, right, there's another one around 7 and such. And some of these, okay, some of these are tracked a little differently per fight. This one you might have had Immolate on something like, this is Beast Lord Darmak, so there's a couple different ads up. There's a bunch of, there's all those little ads that come out,
and then the boss hops on this thing. I'm trying to remember the fight and, now.
Yeah, the boss hops on one of the beasts, right, and then you might, it might be a little bit before you do it. So it's possible that in this case it's tracking, well, you may have had Immolate up on the boss that uptime, mm-hmm, or the current target that amount, but it just, it sees there might be some room there. But, you know, there's other pieces to this that you can look at in terms of, you know, is Chaos Bolts supposed to be your top damage?
I would probably think so, right? Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to say yes.
Right. So it is indeed, besides your Doom Bolt, which I'm assuming is coming. Let's see, where's that coming from?
That's my pet. That's my pet's ability. Yeah.
Which it did a lot of damage.
Yeah, I've heard it's a good, like, it should be a good 30% or so. Like, so this isn't out of line at 26. From what I've heard, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Right. So, you know, Doombolt, good. Chaos Bolt seems to be there. It also, you know, some of the columns here give you the number of casts. Mm-hmm. So you have 20 casts of it, or maybe more than that, actually. It has 25 hits. Oh, that's the multi-strike, sorry. Is that, say, typical of a log that, you know, for the length of the fight, is that a typical number of Chaos Bolts that would come off?
Okay, yeah, I have no idea. I really don't.
So like that goes back to how do your class mechanics work? How do you get to a Chaos Bolt? Well, you stack this and you get this, and again, this is me not knowing Warlocks very well, but maybe you go and you compare this log to some other Warlock you might know on your server, and you look at Chaos Bolt and they casted, you know, 50 or something, and you go, oh, wow, I must be doing something not as optimal or something in my rotation. So,
right, okay.
Things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. And then, you know, what we didn't talk about with the Hunter, what we can hear, is what are your cooldown abilities? What are those 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute things that you're supposed to, mm-hmm, pop in order to maximize your DPS? So what are those for you as a Warlock here?
It's the one with the little purple thing. I can't remember what it's called. It gives me like 30% crit for like 15 seconds. Okay. Dark Soul?
It may not be showing up.
I don't remember what it's called. Anyway, yeah, it's one of them buffs. I can't remember what it's called now.
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
We're sitting at a computer.
Yeah, I
know. Is it Dark Soul Instability?
No, that's my group buff.
Oh, is it? No.
Yeah. Dark Soul. Well, okay, so
that's
or maybe that is the one.
I was going to lead you to another tab here.
Okay.
At the top, there's a tab called buffs.
Okay, yeah.
And you can click on that, and that gives you your damage buffs and defensive things and et cetera, et cetera. So if it is indeed Dark
Souls. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I think it is.
Yep. So that's a 2-minute recharge. Is that something where you get 2 charges of it or to start
yeah,
with?
Yeah, I took the talent. I have the talent right now where I have 2 charges of it. So, yes.
Okay. So you can sort of, and then again, you can click the plus sign next to Dark Soul Instability. That's hard to say. and then see that, okay, you popped it at, this is not a very good graph of this, but you can see that you popped it at 2 minutes something or other. Pop the next one at 3 minutes something or other, and then it seemed to come back. It, you know, the 2-minute one that you
right,
popped
yeah.
should have been back up, I would assume, at the 4-minute mark.
So really, I didn't do this until like 2 minutes into the fight, so I should have done this right away, and it would have been back up. It's still the first point I used it. So that's wasted cooldown right there.
Right.
I see. Man. I don't like this show.
Now, hold on. There's some good stuff here. So one of the other things that you'll see when we get into the problems pane for World of Warcraft logs is they talk about what was the potion use for the raid? So did you pre-pot and then, you know, use your second pot later? Which you can see Draenei Intellect Potion, you can see 2 uses of that. So.
Oh!
Yeah!
Yeah!
Not to mention, even more good news, you use the potion, and you can see Bloodlust right underneath it, where you got buffed by Bloodlust. You use the potion during Bloodlust, which would be usually the proper usage of that.
So, oh yeah.
Even more yay there.
I almost hit the applause again, but no.
No. So, you know, so between damage done and digging into abilities and then looking at buffs that, you know, maybe have your cooldowns and such, you can sort of get a picture of, I did this well, I need to work on, you know, this, and start, you know, looking at yourself from raid to raid and, you know, trying to execute those things. Right. So that's basic DPS stuff. Going into tanking and healing is a little bit more complicated, I suppose. But heading we can head to the tab called Damage Taken. We'll start to look at lovely monk buffs here. So Holloway. There's some cats fighting in the background. That's awesome. So I hit damage taken. Oh my god.
Boy, oh wow. What's going on over there?
One moment, please. Oh, now they're coming in here. Oh my god.
Holy crap. Awesome. This is the best thing ever.
This is amazing.
I cannot buy this kind of content.
Good stuff.
All right, so you used your stuff like right when you bloodlusted, but you did pre-pot and you did pot during the fight. Is that what he was saying? Have you paused the content completely?
Yeah, sorry, they're still fighting. Oh my god!
Oh no, I didn't know if Hen had paused it.
I hadn't. I was keeping it going, but I'll stop it now.
So now we can take a look at damage taken if we want to dig into tanks and healers. So I've clicked on the damage taken tab at the top, and then the drop down of who I want to look at is Holloway. Yay. And of course you get some lovely graphs as usual. And this basically shows what did you take damage from overall. And this is kind of hard to dig into unless you really know the fight, Mm-hmm. But there are some sort of, oh, here's some things that we should watch out for right away. So obviously a tank is going to get meleeed a bunch. And as a monk tank, stagger is going to be one of your, you know, you're staggering the damage. It's hitting you. Okay. Those are all fine and dandy, and those should be, you know, at the top of the list. Something like pinned down means you wouldn't necessarily mean that you got hit by a spear, which did you? Maybe.
I admit to nothing.
I don't know if, I don't think I did. I know I was trying to go and kill all the spirits.
It was me and Gondel all night.
Okay. And maybe I should switch to Zend here and see. No.
What tap was this under?
So we're at damage taken.
Oh, damage taken.
Still in analyze, then in damage taken. And
okay, perfect. Sorry. Okay.
All good. But pinned down may indicate you got hit by a spear, but actually when spears land, they also do damage, period, to the whole raid. A little bit of damage. So you took some of that damage. Again, not a large deal. These damage takens can show you things on different fights, like, for example, let me switch over to, say, let's look at Kargath, maybe. This will be interesting. So, clicking on Kargath, damage taken, Holloway, and let's see. So, again, melee, stagger, etc. But one very minor thing was you took a Berserker Rush, or at least a tick of a Berserker Rush. So, boss pointed some way, and then you got hit by it. Which, again, one hit to a tank, not a big deal, but if you saw, like, six hits to Berserker Rush, you would go, hey, I probably should run away from him when he starts doing Berserker Rush or something, whatever you might
think. I took none. Sweet.
You took none. Excellent. Good job. So, again, with tanks, there's the damage taken and something to look into if there's something weird that you got hit by that you probably shouldn't. But for tanks, certainly the easier thing to look at is going back to that buffs tab and going, okay, what are my abilities that are important to keep up? So for example, I've clicked on buffs, and I'm back to Beast Lord Darmak. Sorry.
Okay.
Making you click around a bunch here. Beast Lord Darmak, buffs, Holloway, and we've got Tiger Power, which is blah blah ability that causes your attacks.
Yeah, I need to keep that one up like a lot.
Right. So here you can see your uptime on it, and also click on the little plus sign to see when it dropped off, et cetera, et cetera. So it looks like it was 92%. Pretty good. It looks like there was a little stretch late in the fight that it fell off for a bit.
Yeah. I like 92%.
Yeah, no, that's pretty darn good. Now for tanks, you would certainly want to look at something like defensive buffs, which is down the next section down below. And shuffle is, of course, one of your top ones there. Is shuffle something that can be 100%, or is it?
Shuffle is part of staggering off your damage, so I mean, you want a high uptime and all that stuff, but
right. So for this fight, you had 88%, which again, through most of the fight, it looks like it was perfect. There was just a couple stretches of, you know, whatever, something happened at that point. So, you know, good stuff there. And then your more active abilities like guard, those you want to see, you know, so that's a 30-second recharge. You got two charges of it. That one is at 41%, but I don't think that's not possible to be higher than that, is that?
Well, it's very situational. Like, and I've learned over the course of this expansion so far, you don't necessarily want that up all the time, because it's kind of like you're using it to react to damage sometimes, you know, if you know you have damage incoming, so you don't necessarily want guard up all the time. But yeah, it's on what is it, a 30-second cooldown, and you get two charges. So mm-hmm.
And it's got a shield that absorbs and increases your heals you apply yourself. So yeah. So again, you can look at those type of things and go, is that something that was good, bad? You know, is elusive brew another one of those things that is more uptime? So again, I don't know the class as well. I can't say X, Y, mm-hmm. and Z, but mm-hmm. you get the idea.
That's what we should be looking for.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So shuffle's like the one that you want up all the time as much as you can. I mean, the goal is to have that one at 100%, but it's, you know, depending on the fight, it's not always reasonable. But yeah, man, it's good to see some of these. Like, it's just good to see, like, the actual percentage.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep, totally. Now, what are your major cooldowns as a monk tank, like a 3-minute 50% reduction or something?
The Fortifying Brew is a huge one.
Okay.
Guard are my other main ones.
Okay. So we have one usage of Fortifying Brew according to the logs, which was
yeah.
And that's one of those things where, again, you obviously have to react to the situations and such and see what's going on. But for example, if there were troubles in certain sections with you dying, obviously you would adjust to make that
mm-hmm.
happen while you're, you know, dying. So, for example, this fight, I know I just finally actually tanked it on my paladin. So I know when the whatchamacallit, the dragon, no, not dragon, Hydra. Is it Hydra? When he hops on the Hydra beast.
He starts blowing fire. Some sort of dragon.
Yes. When that's happening, that's generally a time where tanks seem to be getting hit a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were digging further into this, we could see, okay, during that time frame and during the fight, was Fortifying Brew used, or did you have externals? Like, I see a Vigilance was cast on you at some point, an Iron Bark, mm-hmm. etc. So, again, this is more, tanks are more, well, if you lived, you did good. And obviously you lived, because you guys downed this fight.
Mm-hmm.
But if you died, then you have to sort of go back to death logs and take a look at what happened, which we're going to get.
Yeah, like those major ones, I look at that, like Fortifying Brew. Like, I used it once, and I probably was crapping my pants when I used it. But then the rest of the time, you would really have to dig into the, like, how much damage did you take? You know, how survivable were you? Were you really hard to heal? Was it hard to keep you up? And then, like, well, yeah, you should probably try and use that a little more often then. But
right. I don't know. Right. So here comes my cool feature of Warcraft logs at this point. So, or of the day, of the hour, I don't know, whatever. If we take a look at Butcher and look at one of the wipes, so let's say wipe number 2, that was 4 minutes 53 seconds.
That one hurt.
Yeah. So we can take a look at
the
damage taken tab.
Okay.
We can pull that up and basically start, you know, leave that, have this graph here, and then, you know, if there are certain, let's see, on that fight, what's it, the cleaver or the tenderizer? The tenderizer and heavy-handed. You can probably take a look at You can click the plus sign on, say, heavy-handed and maybe the melee attack from the boss or something like that. Those graphs then... So let's pull both of those up. You could take a look at those graphs and go, okay, this is where I was getting hit by heavy-handed and his regular melee attack. Because heavy-handed is when you're off-tanking. Melee is when he's actually just hitting you in the face. You can click those and put those graphs up. And then switch over to the buffs tab, and that heavy-handed and melee damage stays up there. And then you could add some more graphs and go, well, that I have guard up during some of those hard times, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, we could click on, say, Fortifying Brew and see when that was used. And you took some decently hard spikes of heavy-handed at around the 4-minute 20-ish. Yeah, 4-minute 20-ish point. And sure enough, that's about the point where you hit Fortifying Brew and said, oh crap, I'm getting hit hard. I should probably do something. And then you can see the damage drop off. So this is sort of illustrating a good cooldown usage of right there, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
With the damage taken in, corresponding with the buff, the cooldown used. Now, this was a wipe. So
it was like a 3 or 4% wipe too. It's terrible. I know. It's like, oh no.
So harsh. So we can take a look at why you died. Which is always fun to do. In this case, it looks like, and to do so, there's a deaths tab, and you can look at, sort of everyone in the raid. If you want to clear out Holloway from the tab, you can look at everyone, how it started to happen. So you probably want to get that picture first before you, go blaming the tank. it's always the tank's fault, right?
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, you had, it looks like, I assume a few melee die at around the 320.
Kranos, look at that, Kranos.
Yeah.
Holy, yeah, dude, he died way early.
He died twice before anyone else.
Right. Right, so you get, awesome. You get a...
One job.
Yeah, so you can also click on them and you sort of get, and what's great about clicking on them when we're talking about killing blows is you get a log of what exactly happened to them in the last 10-15 seconds. This is similar to what's in Recount and Skada and all that kind of stuff, so you can dig into this kind of stuff. But it also, because Warcraft logs is awesome, also gives you a little survival ability. So these are their personal cooldowns. So this, I clicked on Ash Knight. They died at the 324 mark. And it says they use their Icebound Fortitude at 30 seconds before they died. And if that was something where they used it, 5 or 6 seconds before they died, and then they still died, well then maybe you go talking to your healers. But if they had that ability up and didn't use it, then you could say, hey, we know you died, we're sorry about you dying, but you could have done a little bit to help us. So, just, death logs are something that we could go into for hours as well, but at the very least you can see Warcraft logs has all of those types of capabilities. So I think we've talked quite a bit tank-wise and DPS-wise. We should hit the healers before we start getting into some of the really cool features of Warcraft Log. So
let's hit the healers.
Poor healers. So for this one, I'm taking a look at the Hansgar and Franzuk kill at one shot. Well done. And taking a look at the healing tab.
Okay.
And I'm clicking there, and it's loading for me. And of course, it looks like you have three nice healers. Oh, this is not loading. Okay, there we go.
They're pretty nice.
So you got a Resto Shaman, a Resto Druid, and a Mistweaver Monk, right?
Yep.
And what I'll also point out about this this graph as well as this table as well as what the other tables have had, it does also give you the ability to see what their item level is at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like Sakura is 653, which is the lowest of what you've got healing wise. So you would expect a little bit of less performance from them in general. But anyway, just a nice little sidelight to look at. Now for healing, it is a big, complicated mess to analyze healers. There is, of course, what we're looking at right now, which is basically heals per second, and that gives you some picture of things.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many things to how healers operating. So, for example, right away on this table, you do see overheals. So Sakura's had 35% of their heals, basically did nothing. They were unhelpful because someone was already at 100%. And that you're going to always have overheals no matter what, especially with most classes, period. But with healers, you do want to see sort of spell usage at the very least. So digging into, let's say, Winter Sun. I know a little bit about Resto Druid, so I can go for this. Most healers at this point have, you know, Blizzard sort of redid things for Warlords where healers have a, you know, short cast inefficient heal,
mm-hmm.
a long cast efficient heal, you know, and some tools to work with. So for Resto Druids, Rejuve is that efficient castable heal. You should see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Regrowth is the, oh my god, people are dying, I've got to do something, but it's really costly for me to do that regrowth. So hopefully, as long as the raid is not standing in a lot of bad stuff, you'll be seeing more rejuves than regrowths.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it depends on the fights, but you do see, for example, 87 casts of rejuve here, 17 of regrowths. So in general, pretty high usage of rejuve, pretty good deal. So good stuff there. With healers, one of the top things to be tracking is if they are calling out that they're out of mana. So this one will take a little bit of clicking around, but it's kind of fun to get to. There's a resource tab on the far right, and this is for everyone's resources. But you can click on resource, and you can drop down to, say, Winter Sun, and then click on mana on the right. Well, there's another drop down that has hit points, attack power, spell power, etc.
Oh.
One of these is mana.
Wait a minute, I'm lost here. I don't have that.
Okay. It's fine. So we click on resources.
Yeah.
You got Winter Sun.
Yeah.
Okay, then to the right of that it says resources, and right down below resources, it's a drop down. And if you click on the plus sign next to mana, it will again pull up a little graph that gives you their mana. So you can take a look at, well, it looks like obviously, they start out at every healer starts at 160,000 mana. That's everyone's pool,
right?
And you can sort of see their usage. So you can see that it generally trended down. Something happened on this fight. Let's see, which fight are we on? Oh, Hanskar and Franzuk. Something happened around the time you guys were bloodlusting, and they seemed to be burning their mana quite a bit around the 3:30 mark. They recovered some mana with the mana potion, which is good. And then they spent the rest of the fight, you know, hovering around 50k or one third. They didn't run out. Yay. Good. don't want to see that. But as a contrast, you could change the drop down to look at Sakura and take a look at their mana usage. So this one is quite a different picture. You have that pulled up yet?
Getting there. Oh. Okay, I think.
Right. Yeah, so you've got, they seem to be going pretty quickly down to, you know, not very much mana. They during your bloodlust, they're reaching, you know, 16k of mana left. Now, they do use mana tea to bump themselves back up significantly, but they continue to burn down, you know, further down and get close to again. They bump themselves back up, and then the rest of the fight is going there. So in this picture, monks are a little weird because they can do the whole manatee thing, and it's a whole separate mechanic from what other healers are doing. But you do see them spending quite a bit of their mana fairly quickly, and you may say, well, are you spending it on the right spells? Again, I don't know monks as good, but are they spending it on the right stuff? You know, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Now, even funner, now you should actually have, I think you have Sakura and you might have Winter Sun's graph on top of each other now. So then you can obviously add in your, I clicked the wrong button. You can add in your third healer, Thera. And that sees, you know, you can see this other picture for them on what they do, which seems to be they maintain pretty high mana.
Yeah, she does pretty good. Yeah. All right. This is cool.
Right.
Although she's down to 50 as well, which looks to be close to God or Winter Sun's. Well, no, before his mana pot, I guess he had 40, but after that, his lowest was like 50-ish. So it's comparable, I suppose. Well, that's cool, though.
And of course, I mean, the lesson is not necessarily that, you know, if a healer ends a fight at zero mana, they probably did it right. As long as in between they're not running out and stressing their other healers. Because it's possible there's a whole, and I said, like I said at the beginning, this is a big mess to look at healers because there's so many factors going on. Mm-hmm. Did the raid step in bad stuff? Were the tanks taking more damage than expected?
Right.
Even the interaction between these three healers, if, say, Sakura being out of mana at, you know, 2 minutes, 45 seconds, suddenly caused Winter Song and Thera to really step it up, and then their mana drains, you know, there's all sorts of funky interactions there on working as a healing team. So you can't just say, well, you ran out of mana halfway through the fight. What's wrong? So, again, healers, you can look at the buffs and when they their healing spell choices and of course when they're popping healing pots or when they're popping mana pots and such. So, so yeah, that's I guess some healing discussion, because again, it can get pretty complicated. Now, I led you.
You just have to know the fights really well, too.
Yeah, no, totally, because there can be, you know, why was Bloodlust popped at the 2 minute mark? I guess that was probably when the stamping presses came out. Maybe
it's when the mythic raider who was with us told us to hit Bloodlust.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. No, really. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there was a little lull like right at that time, though.
Right. So, I mean, perfectly capable. It does seem though that the healers burnt some mana during that time. So I was hoping it was sort of a some damage. But you know, whatever.
It's important.
The fight and what's going on for people. So yeah, it can get pretty complicated with healers. You got to look at a lot of things. So
yeah,
at least take that away. So, having done all of this complicated, deep diving, looking at graphs and everything, Warcraft Logs just decided to do it all for you. So, I'm going to click on the Gruul encounter and get the kill of that 4.5 minutes. And then, instead of being on the Analyze tab, we're going to click on the lovely Problems tab.
Okay.
So let's look at some problems. And there's some great info right away from the top. So this does give you a little sentence that talks about, hey, your raid's average item level was this. The minimum that they've seen to beat this boss is this.
Okay, cool.
Et cetera, et cetera. So this would give you the question, you know, if we were wiping on this encounter and you were wondering why, and say your item level was 630,
mm-hmm.
you know, this would right away tell you, well, you're not geared enough for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. It answers that.
You're a bad person. Go gear up.
Right, right. And then, of course, as we talked about with DPS, the next section talks about potion usage. And you can see out of all of your DPS on this encounter, who used 2 potions. So, Zend, way to go.
Actually, we're getting pretty good here for most people using 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We started, actually calling people out for it, so...
We got a guild bank full of potions. Someone went and stocked the guild bank full, so take them and use them.
It seems like people are, and it seems
Good.
Yeah, like the people who used 0, Sakura, and Thera are healers. So whether they didn't need a mana potion on this fight or didn't think to use one, you know, that's probably fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess an argument can be made that pre-potting doesn't do much for a healer, I guess. Right. I mean, maybe totally. If they're throwing out some damage first thing, but yeah.
Yeah, that's you know, seeing a healer use 0 or 1 is probably not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. And then scrolling down further, there's, you know, sections on slow deaths, which is basically...
I love that section.
Yeah. Basically, as it reads there, people who died slowly over 10 or more seconds, they didn't have... direct healing, or they took excessive damage, being the reason for this death. So Ash Knight died to overhead smash, which in my mind would have been a excessive damage portion, because that's where this is Gruul, and he, you know, smashes the ground every now and then and sort of telegraphs where he's doing that.
Right.
So they stood in the bad stuff there. So
fail.
Yeah, but there. Before we take a look at the avoidable damage section, which is interesting, we can scroll down further to Inferno Slice and Inferno Strike and those types of things. And these are sections where it says the raid passed. The raid did a good job on these things. So this is really cool stuff, because this is Warcraft Logs digging deep into who got hit by what, and sort of coming together and doing that analysis of the raid mechanic for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying that first Inferno Slice at 17 seconds, these 6 people got hit by it. Cool. Then, you know, 18 seconds later, Holloway taunted it to the other group, and they took the next slice.
So it really, basically this is saying, if this is too hard for you, if just digging in and the numbers are too hard for you, it's actually broken down to, you can click on this problems tab and you can go in and it says, hey, here's things that you should have avoided and you didn't. And here's, you know, who pre-potted. Here's the specific abilities that, you know, you did a good job here, you did a bad job here. It's completely, this is Logs for Dummies then, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is the Training Dummies, so I have to go through this section.
Boom.
There you go. And then, you know, and so Inferno Slice handled beautifully. by the raid is what it looks like happened. So good job taunting back and forth, making sure the right groups were getting it. Yeah, good deal. And then, of course, we can go back to the sections that had issues and, you know, improve on those things for later. Obviously, this was a kill, so, you know, much of it is just sort of, well, let's clean this up for next time. But if you were wanting to look at a wipe, it also is really intelligent.
Well, I think we should highlight the avoidable damage on this fight, though.
Yeah, no, totally.
Totally.
Yeah. So you can click on avoidable damage, and then all sources gives you everything, which is gives you a lot of things. But you can click on each mechanic and see who got hit by what.
Wait. So I see that that Hind's wife got hit by every piece of avoidable damage except for overwhelming blows.
I assume that's Chariot.
I'm not going to say. I'm gonna just going to leave that right there.
Okay.
And anyway, looking at this,
busted.
The Warlock did very, very well. It looks to me like exceptionally well, I would say. Is that how you read it as well?
Yeah, so yes. I would go through every one of those and say which ones are bad and which ones are good. So overwhelming blows, you click on that one, it looks like five people got hit by that. That's actually probably on a tank for not taunting back quickly enough, but it didn't kill anyone. So, you know, not a big deal. Cave-in is certainly a... Hey, you're standing in that thing that's damaging you. So you can see who did that one. And then Overhead Smash is the one we talked about that killed Ash Knight. That's big telegraphed thing that's coming to the ground move.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few hits of that. And then the last one, that's kind of why I wanted to go through it one by one. Shatter is where... You get knocked up in the air, you start to get petrified. What you're supposed to do is try to run away from your raid members, because once he shatters you, it splashes damage from you.
Right.
So these are people who either didn't run away far enough or got hit by other people's shatters. So the raid, I mean, again, these are fairly minor hits for this fight, but the raid had quite a number of hits of hitting other people, so we didn't spread out well enough. So, but yes, you only did that twice, and Warlock did that twice.
But nothing else.
First you were afraid, and then you were petrified.
Oh. No, Rob, no. Bad well, Rob. Then.
Sorry, I could not help it.
Well done. So, basically, I think this problems tab gives you a great way to just overall look at what might have happened
totally.
In a fight. And the good and bad thing is it's very complicated and can break it down for you nicely. The bad thing is you might not actually be able to get that analysis until Warcraft logs creates that analysis. So, for example, let's see. I was looking at... I think they don't have it for maybe Beast Lord? I kept clicking around, and I was like, oh, yeah. So, for example, if you click on Beast Lord Darmak and click on Problems, it does give you that quick and easy potion usage and the slow deaths and blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't give you... You guys handled this great. You didn't handle this great. You know, off you go. So it is under construction. They'll get it out there. They're always improving this stuff. But as you work through newer fights, you might not have all of the fancy stuff. But it'll get there. It'll get there. So
right on.
Problems is awesome. And then... the other two tabs to look at in Warcraft logs to at least highlight are rankings and replay. So rankings is something that's been around for ages with all of log analysis. It's basically the how well did you do in comparison to, you know, other people in the world who are doing this fight. I don't want to spend too much time on that because you can, you know, you can get into rankings and you can really get a lot out of it, or you can just, you know, use it to measure your, you know what. So what I will point out, though, is that Warcraft Logs does it a little bit differently than many other sites. I'm clicking on rankings, and I'm going to your Gruul kill and pulling that up.
Okay.
They do break out, they now break out what item level brackets you're in order to decide how well you did overall. Mm-hmm. So on the left side of the page, you know, taking a look at, let's look at Laron. Their overall ranking on that fight was, you know, they did 59% of that was their rank. But on the right side, you can see that it has their item level, 662, and it puts them in a bracket of other people who are in around that item level. And it says within that bracket, you know, on the far right side, they were actually 93%. So for their item level, they're doing pretty darn good. So that's kind of a nice little addition to this whole ranking things. And then at the top, there's also a execution ranking that just that just shows how did your guild do on this kill based on all of the other kills that are out there. For this, it said you guys were, let's see, greater than 2,500, basically 25%-ish rank. And of course, this is your first kill, and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But it does some sort of analysis of you did well, you took a little bit more damage than other people, but this is where we rank you based out of the 8,000-some kills that we've seen of guilds that did this. So kind of nice to see that as you get used to a fight and you say, oh, wow, that was a really great pull. You could say, well, how great was it in comparison to other people? If you want to. Again, some of that's just for funds, but always nice to see. So finally, let's head to the replay, which has been there for a little while in Warcraft Logs and was one of those features I discovered, and I was like, oh, wow, sweet.
Yeah.
I see everything. Have you done this before?
Yeah, when it first came out, like I turned on the advanced logging, I believe, because you need to have that on for this to work. And it was in Siege. And I looked at the one guy. He was the end of LFR Part 2. I can't remember his name now. But anyway, that's the one I looked at.
Was it Malkarok?
No, he was the first part of Part 3. The guy before that.
General Nazgrim?
Yeah, that's it. Yes. So anyway, I've looked at that one on this.
Yeah. So this is, of course, you know, to be utilized, the replay tab is to be utilized if you have questions about, well, how well were we positioned? So you can click on this. It takes a little bit of time to load. But then you can click play and you can see where the boss is. So you see the boss in the middle with a diamond. That's Gruul. You can see where your tank is, right there. And then you get to see, I hit the 17-second mark and it showed a cast of Inferno Slice. And it shows that the raid in the bottom right corner took some damage, and you can see the, you know, current health of people. But then you can also see, as this plays on, you can see Holloway move to the other group and prepare for the next slice.
Now, sounds like a really good tank.
It seems to be really good. Now, The soon after that, a petrifying slam goes out at 24 seconds or so. That's when people are supposed to spread out if they got afflicted by it. So you can see the raid sort of spread out, but you see a few people standing next to each other. Your death knight went like way to Timbuktu, but then everyone did get grouped back up for Inferno slices and such. So this is where, you know how we were talking about earlier, a lot of people got hit by Petrify and then the Shatter.
Yeah.
This is where you would go, okay, who stacked on each other? Where did they go? Should we be better at, you know, spreading back behind or whatever? So this would be, you know, a nice tool to use for those kind of things. Again, there's a whole lot to this replay thing, and we could go for 17 more hours on that. But, yeah, did want to mention that as well, if people have never seen that. So I guess that's probably some of the... I think I've hit most of the highlights of Warcraft logs. Do you guys have any questions or things that you might think of? Like, how do we figure out this?
Uh-oh.
What? What?
I just heard him say, how do we figure out, and then that was it.
Oh.
Did he just drop?
I'm here.
Oh, you're here. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
Nobody dropped.
All right.
We're cool.
Okay, we're good.
Okay, so, I mean, obviously the whole point of the show is to go over and see, you know, all the pro stuff, but I don't really have any questions per se, but is there anything that you would say is like, what's your go-to? What's your, like, this is what I do every time when I'm going and reevaluating a fight, you know, this is what I do.
Yeah, totally. Definitely if the problems tab is available and it has the fight analysis, it's the easiest place to start with. If it's not there, then at least looking at people's damage done and damage taken will point you in the right direction. If people are taking a ton of damage to, or you think they're taking a ton of damage to some mechanic, you can dig deep into that on your own and figure out, you know, what's going on. So, yep, hit those problems tabs first, though, if you can.
The problems tabs. I like the problems tab. Honestly, I do.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest. Pretty sweet.
Yep.
And what about you? Any questions, you think?
Not right now, I don't think.
I think, honestly, like, I mean, it's going to be a matter of getting in and doing it. And I think, for starters, the problems tab is a really good place to go. Because that's, like, immediately. You can just click here, go to the problems tab, and I look right now. Here's the people that didn't pre-pot, didn't use, you know, came into the Beast Lord Darmak. When I'm looking at this right now, I can see that Kranos didn't pre-pot or use a combat pot. And then you see all the slow deaths, but I think that's part of the mechanic of the fight, you know, because it says that somebody had... No, that's just the time that they died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's just going to be a matter of going fight by fight and, I guess, seeing where you're struggling at and going in and looking. But so, I guess the problems tab is good. The analyze tab, would that be, like, where to go? I'm trying to figure out, like, a good, just, you know, like, a basic overview. If somebody has no idea how to use Warcraft logs and...
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a good question. And there's plenty of people out there, like, what if they're not using this for their team and you have stuff like... You know, where would you even go to start this? Is this an add-on that you would use? Is this?
Oh, yeah, totally. So obviously going to warcraftlogs.com is the first step. And then at the top, there is usually a button that says install client. And it downloads a little Java app, basically. And, you know, that's where you start. It does sign you up, or in the process, you do have to sort of sign up for an account, give them an email address, et cetera, et cetera. But you have an account, you plug that into the client, and then that client itself is pretty slick and pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. You're able to either upload a log from a previous log file, or, you know, while you're raiding, do a live log so you can look at it, you know, after a wipe and see what's going on. But it's a pretty slick client.
So when you do that, so you get the client, you do that, is there anything special you need to do to get things uploaded? Do you just
type slash combat log in game to make it work? That's it.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
I mean,
it really is.
This this client is really, you know, really easy to use. It even sort of, once you have some logs and you want to upload them, you can even cherry pick and say, well, I only want to look at our kill of the butcher. I don't want to look at the wipes because we don't want to remember how we wiped.
I always go to straight to the kills.
Yeah.
Totally.
But you can cherry pick those and say, just give me those fights, and it'll just upload those. Just fairly straightforward to use that. One thing to note about log files is that they do get big
very
quickly, because they are huge. So any logging tool that you're going to use is going to give you some ability to archive or delete or split log files so that you can keep them around if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to make sure that you do that, you know, probably after every raid, so that you don't have a massive 4 gigabyte log file that just slows you down in game. Because computers are pretty good these days, but even having something that large in memory is just not going to make your WoW go well. So that would be my tip there. Yep.
Cool.
Pro right tip.
Mm-hmm.
Just a pro tip.
Yes. Well, this was definitely good, though. Like, I have a starting point now. Because really, it's always, okay, I look at the logs, and, okay, my little damage graph was higher than other people's and lower than other people's, and if it was at the top, that's awesome. But other than that, it's like, all right, now what? You know, it's just I've always looked at it just a glorified damage meters in game, right? So this is a good starting point to look at this, you know, the dots, the uptimes, the buffs, etc., uptimes on those. So yeah, this is good. I apparently have some work to do on a few of these fights, I can see.
I wasn't going to say anything, but...
Although Kargath, I kicked ass. I'm just going to say that. Kargath, I kicked ass. After that, my performance started to decline. But the scotch intake went up. It doesn't show scotch buffs on here, though, I see. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, there was someone, I think I remember this, I think there was someone on Kargath who fell into the tiger pit. I'm pretty sure I saw that one.
Really? How do you see that?
So Kargath took this, and then the deaths.
Okay, kids have probably killed him. Yeah, right.
Oh, okay, so I've fallen in before, and it just chucks me out.
Of course, it's not loading very quickly for me, but I'm pretty certain that someone... Oh, yes. At 4 minutes, yes, they got mauled, which is what the cats do, and yes.
Oh, someone... yeah, the ravenous...
Man, mine is loading slow.
Yep.
That's hilarious.
So who was it? Yep. Who was it?
Ash Knight.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Berserker Rush. Oh, Sakura got Berserker Rush. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember when Leiran died to that, too. He just came down from the stands and got hit with Berserker Rush.
Yeah.
That was just glitchy. Unlucky. That was unlucky.
It was bad timing. You could see he got hit really hard and barely got any heals. There was kind of nothing he could do. So.
No. Yep.
But I can see that. I can actually see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is wonderful. This is cool.
Fun stuff.
This is cool. Okay. Well, if we're done with the logs. Are we done with the logs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Rob, you good?
I'll keep you guys any later.
Yeah, man, this is good stuff. I'm I like knowing exactly what we're looking at.
Okay, well, let's get into this set.
Don't try to tank in healing gear.
Unclaimed mail will be deleted after 30 days.
Always check your loot spec before a boss fight.
Things I learned the hard way.
All right, Pally, what do you got for things you learned the hard way?
Well, I mean, I've spent the entire night talking about how you guys have done on these fights, so I do have to give it back and tell you my recent derpy moment. After a night of wiping on Black Hand with my newly and frantically geared tank, I learned that one of my brand new trinkets actually had a really, really beast of an on-use cooldown that I completely didn't know was there. So I just didn't use it all night. So, way to go. Way to forget cooldowns.
That's awesome.
That's why you need to have two or three abilities always macroed with use 13 and use 14.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
No, totally.
Yeah, I do that with the with some of the shorter, like the one or two minute cooldowns. I do.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Definitely do that.
All the time.
Yep.
Rob, what do you got?
Well, I did mention earlier that I had leveled the DK up and got him to 100. Mm-hmm. And I did go in to tank a dungeon. And I could not figure out for the life of me why I just felt like I was 100 and I felt like things weren't really working right. And I was like, maybe it's gear, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And I realized after the second boss, I want to say it was Skyreach, but it was after the second boss. I was like thinking the whole time, I'm thinking about the episode that we just did with Epic. And I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? I'm thinking talents. I'm thinking glyphs. And then I realized that I had not even selected my level 100 talent, which was going to be pretty huge for the Death Knight tanking. So if you hit level 100, make sure you go on and double check that you're actually using your talents. Because it'll make a difference.
It would. I believe that. I believe that.
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
Well, I've learned I've got a lot of work to do, according to Warcraft logs. just looking through some of these, it's like, wow, I didn't do very good on that at all. So, I thought I did better keeping Immolate up, actually. And, you know, looking at some of these is... Yeah, yeah. So we'll go with the easy answer and say that.
we'll go with that. Everyone always has something. Don't feel too bad. Everyone's always got something they can improve on. So.
Oh yes, I have a few somethings. It looks like. So, all right, let's get into this then. All right, Hen Love, tonight I have for our guildies, the Hordalies on the Deathwing server, which of course follows into our raid team, Team Crab Dick, who supplied the logs for this evening's show. And despite seeing that there's a few things we can improve on, we still did really well on Friday, and I'm still very happy with our performance and what we were able to accomplish with an hour shorter of actual rating time. And of course, I need to send some head love to Pally for coming on the show again this evening and teaching us how to learn why we're bad. Rob, no. What you got?
Pally, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. It was kind of, I don't know, we kind of... had some shows lined up and then switched things around, but definitely And I think the last time we did a logs show, it's been a long time, but we kind of talked about how it's not really the most compelling content, but once you actually get in and you look at it, it's really cool. And if you're interested in progression, or even if you're just rating LFR, like, there's a lot to be said for it. So, it's cool that you were able to come on and just kind of clear the air and bring a little bit of life into the logs that I have really, like Hen said, I've just been staring at them and going to our kills and then going to see how good I did on our kills. And that was it, really. So,
totally.
Everybody on the raid team for sure, because we have a lot of guys that put up with a lot of attitudes and a lot of
one job.
And Kranos for dying to twice before anybody else even died. You get a shout out for that. Pally, what about you?
Well, thank you for inviting me to chat on one of my favorite subjects in the entire world. And it really is. I really love doing this type of stuff post-raid and looking at analysis and what everyone can do to improve. But, of course, I wouldn't have this if there weren't the people making these tools. So, obviously, great applause for Warcraft Logs and the other sites for making these tools for nerds like me to dig into every minutia of everything ever. So, yep.
Awesome. Well, before we put a nail in this one, Pally, do you want to let people know where they can reach you, follow you, like you, stalk you, check your logs?
Well, my logs are available on Warcraft Logs. Our guild name is DNA, so you can see me with my brand new paladin coming up here. But in general, to reach me and shoot a message at me, probably the best place is Twitter, and that's at Gitterraid, GitterRaid.
Before we close this out, I do want to mention a cool giveaway we have next week. We are part of Catalyst Gaming Media and the D20 Crit Network, which have partnered with Jinx for their Jinx Boss Battle. This means we have a free shirt from Jinx to give away, and that includes shipping in Canada and the US. So be sure to join us for a special live show next week with our guest Fabelina. That will be Thursday, March 12th at 9 p.m. Mountain, and we'll be awarding the prize to someone in the live chat room. So be sure to be there. All right, well, that wraps up episode 85 of The Training Dummies. You can find the show on iTunes and Stitcher, so please consider giving us a review, good, bad, or otherwise. You can also follow our Twitters, and we'll be sure to keep you informed on everything that is The Training Dummies, and that is at Training Dummies. There's Rob at Rob Copeland, myself, Hend at Hend _ Horderlies, and Kim is at Kim with a Y, Scally.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo woo!
I rolled a 20.